Aloha, church. That is not just a device, by the way. That is the title of tonight's lesson, just in case you are interested. Sometimes over the course of the years, people have asked me, well, how do you keep coming up every week with, now I don't have to do it every week. Bruce gets to do that. But back in the day when I did have to do it every week, people used to ask, how do you keep coming up with ideas for sermons every week? And for me, honestly, it was always more, how do I not use all of the sermon ideas that I get? Because I don't have enough time and opportunities to use them all. But the fact is that they quite often come out of things that occur in life. And as most of you know, I just recently got back from a trip to Hawaii. Now, this part, some of you know, and probably some of you don't. Hawaii is special to me because I kind of grew up there a little bit. My father served in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years. I was there for the last 15 of those. And 4 of those we spent in Hawaii. And those are my earliest childhood memories. I wasn't born there, but that's the place we went right after I was born. And so that's the thing I remember first in looking back into the memory bank of my life. And so it's always a special thing when I get to go back to the islands and rebreathe the air, as it were, in that part of the world that is so special to me. But this idea of this word is an interesting one, because aloha is the first word that you learn as a visitor when you get to Hawaii. You know, if you learn no other word in Olelo, Hawaii, which is the indigenous language of Hawaii, aloha is the one word you will learn. And it's like the Leatherman multi-tool of words, because it can do a lot of different things depending on the context. Aloha can mean welcome. It can mean farewell. It can also mean love or friendship. It has other meanings too. It's a great multi-purpose word. But if we actually look at what the word literally means in Olelo, Hawaii, it's a compound word. It's made from 2 shorter words. The first of those is alo, which means the face or the presence of a person, combined with ha, which is the breath, or literally the spirit of the mouth of a person. And you put those 2 things together, and the literal meaning of the word aloha is to be in the presence of another person's breath. That is to say, to be face to face with them to the degree that you share the same breath. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Becomes so much more than just a word that you say hello and goodbye with when you go to Hawaii. Unfortunately, in English, we don't really have a cool word like that. We don't have a word that really fully expresses that literal meaning of aloha. But there is a word that we encounter frequently in the scriptures that has a similar sense, and that is the word fellowship. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit this evening. I was talking on the way in with Stephen and Robin, and they were talking about how much they love to go to Kauai. If I had known, I would use pictures I took in Kauai. These are from Oahu. If I had known, I would have used some of my Kauai pictures. But we are called to be in fellowship with God through Christ. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter in the 9th verse, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What an amazing thing that is. Just stop and think about that for a minute. The great I am, the creator of all things, wants us to be in fellowship with him through his Son. of all of the things that God could focus on in the universe, God focuses enough on us that he wants to be in fellowship with us. And he's provided the means for us to do that in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we are called to be in fellowship with Christ, and we accept that call, we are not only in fellowship with just with God the Father or just with Christ the Son, we are in fellowship with the entirety of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 14th verse, Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion," that is to say, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, "be with you all." And when we remember that Paul is writing to Christians, he is saying to them that the fellowship that includes the entirety of the person of God is yours because he has called you in Christ. And that's just an amazing thing to consider. But here's another amazing thing that we ought not to overlook. And that is that when we are in fellowship with God, we are in fellowship with others who also are in fellowship with God. John talks about this a bit in his first letter in the first chapter. At verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." It is entirely one thing to know that we have the opportunity to be in fellowship with God and with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. But it is an additional wonderful thing to know that we also are in fellowship with all the other people who likewise are in fellowship with God and his Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we can come together like this and immediately, whether we know one another or not, immediately be family. Because we are all in fellowship with God through Christ, if indeed we are in Christ. And it's why we can, as people often do, go into an assembly of like precious faith and be part immediately of a fellowship because we have found other people who are in fellowship with God through Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. I don't know how much we appreciate that on the first day of the week, our visitors, those brothers and sisters who come from other places, who happen to be in Las Vegas and who seek us out, that when they come into our assembly, we have fellowship with people we didn't even know, and they with us, because we are in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But, there's always a but. There's always a caveat. Our fellowship with God, as wonderful a thing as that is, does not come without responsibility. Mm-hmm. And indeed, our fellowship with God comes with responsibility for action. John would write in 1 John, the first chapter in the 6th verse, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." It is not enough just for us to say we are in fellowship with God. Because anybody can say that, and in fact, if we look around the religious world, many people do say that. People who, if we examine their claim by what the scriptures teach, Maybe not. I'm not their judge. I'm not the one who's going to say yes or no on that. But we can look at the scripture and see what it calls for us to be in Christ, which John's already told us is what it takes for us to be in fellowship with God. We can say, John says, that we are in fellowship with God, but walk in darkness. And if we do that, he says, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. What that means is, if we accept that offer of fellowship, it is not merely a thing that we take one time and say, thank you, Lord, and then go on our way. It comes with responsibility for continued action, to not walk in darkness. Because if we continue to claim to be in fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, then we are not in fellowship with God at all. But fortunately, fellowship with God comes with the benefits of forgiveness and of support. Because all of us have those moments where we fail to be and do what we ought to be as people in fellowship with God. John tells us in the 7th verse of that first chapter, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's our security blanket. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we continue to walk in fellowship with God, we have other people surrounding us to be in fellowship with. We have people we can lean on in our moments of weakness. We have people that we can talk to when we need a listening ear. We have people whose shoulders we can find when we need an embrace, because we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because as greatly as we desire to walk in the light, we don't always do it perfectly. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that those moments of misstep do not cost us our fellowship with God, because he has provided not only the means of our support, we have people who can pray with and for us, but more importantly, we have the blood of his Son to cleanse us from all sin. When we get back in that practice of walking in the light as he is in the light. The interesting thing about fellowship is that it's always a gift. I can't make you be in fellowship with me, and vice versa. In the Old Testament, with one exception, every place where the Hebrew word that is often in the newer translations of the scripture translated as fellowship, wherever that word appears, with one exception, it's always followed by the word for offering or offerings. It's always combined with the concept of gift or giving. And that's sort of the idea that Paul was putting forward in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 9, when he said, when James, Cephas, as Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Paul could not go to James and Peter and John and demand fellowship from them. He had to show them that he was in fellowship with God. And when he did that, they gave him their fellowship as well. which is exactly what we do with one another. We can't demand fellowship. But when we see that another person is in fellowship with God through Christ, when we see that another person has done those things that the Scripture requires for them to be in fellowship with God through Christ, we can give them our fellowship, and they can give us theirs, because we are all in fellowship with God through Christ. But fellowship also requires development, and that development comes through devoted action. I'm very fond of the verse in Acts chapter 2 at verse 42, where it talks about the development of the very early, the very beginnings of the church, where it says of the disciples that they continued steadfastly. There's that word again that Bruce was talking about this morning. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. It didn't say that they showed up a couple of times a year and got a little doctrine whipped on them. It doesn't say that every once in a while they shook a hand. It doesn't say that a couple of times a year they participated in a communion service, or that on some occasion they prayed together. It says they continued steadfastly in these things. And we should not miss that one of those things was fellowship. That just as it was important for them to continue steadfastly in doctrine and in observing the Lord's Supper and in praying, it was also vital to their growth that they continue steadfastly in fellowship, in developing relationships with one another that truly made them brothers and sisters in the household of one Father. God's Word offers us the opportunity of aloha with Him, to be in the presence of God such that we share His breath. And how do we do that? We do that through His Word. Because as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I probably didn't even need to put this up here because y'all can recite this. But let's look at it together for a second. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration literally means the Scripture has been breathed out by God. From the first word of Genesis to the last word of Revelation, human hands put the ink to the papyrus, but the breath of God spoke the words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's the aloha of God, the presence, the breath of God contained in the pages of His Word. And what does that do for us? Well, Paul says it's profitable for doctrine, to teach us the things that we need to know in order to be in fellowship with God through Christ. For reproof. Because sometimes God's Word has to tell us, don't do that. And for correction, because sometimes God's Word has to tell us, if you're not doing that, do this instead. And for instruction in righteousness. That God's word shows us the way that we can walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. That we can continue in that fellowship that John describes when he talks about when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And when we have that, when we are in the presence of the breath of God through his word, Paul says, the man of God may be complete. Everything we need to have to be in fellowship with God is in those breathed out words in the pages of Scripture. We are, as Paul says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the beauty of it is, God wants us to have that. He wants you to have that. He wants you to have fellowship with him. He wants you to have aloha, the breath of his presence with him. And as we talked about before, fellowship's always a gift. So the question is, do you accept the gift? And thanks be to God, as I look around the room, as far as I know, we've all accepted that gift. But as we've observed, it comes with an ongoing responsibility that we have to continue to embrace that fellowship and continue to conduct our lives in such a way that we stay within it. And we have to continue steadfastly in our fellowship with others of like precious faith, so that we can encourage and uplift and be strengthened by one another. You know, that's why the Hebrew writer tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When you have an opportunity to be in fellowship with those who are in fellowship with God, be there. Because you need it and they need it. And so the question for those of us who are in fellowship with God through Christ is that, are we offering that gift of fellowship to one another to the degree that we should? And I know that, speaking for myself, I'm not always as good at that as I should be. And I'm striving to do better. And I want to encourage you. Some of you are really good at it. But we can all do more. We can all be more encouraging. We can all be more uplifting. We can be more, all be more edifying and more strengthening. We can all continue to point one another back to the place where we find the presence of the breath of God, his word, and share that together. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful opportunities that we have to study together so that we can have that opportunity to be in the presence of God's breath, to share his aloha together. That's the lesson. Think about that this week. Think about what a wonderful thing it is to be in fellowship with God because you are in Christ. And think about what you can do to foster the fellowship that you have with those who also are in fellowship with God through Christ. If you need to respond to the invitation, maybe you just need the opportunity to get some fellowship slapped on you. Take this opportunity, whatever your need might be, as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and we'll sing.